what I'm hearing people are saying, dead or alive, you're coming with me.
There's no need for an artist to apologize about just giving us something that is passionate and beautiful and funny or any of those. No need to apologize for that. So the historian says it's not my business, and the businessman says it's not my business, and the lawyer says it's not my business, and the artist says it's not my business, and whose business is it? You're going to leave the business of the most important issues in the world to people who run the country? I mean, how stupid can you be? I see all sorts of people who are doing this and doing that and doing this and that. But where are our citizens among us?
Well, you may have noticed a bit of a gap in our output, and let's just say there's a lot of shit going on backstage with us right now. Things are extremely busy, new jobs, just personal things happening.
Taking a gap month.
Yeah, we're going to be taking March off, just to let you know. And we're same with you should go actually right now as you're hearing this and go to Neon Dystopia. We got a new story up, but we're we're just taking the month off. We haven't taken a fucking vacation in 6 years. I'm broken. I am broken. Okay. I just want to listen to some music and just go to a concert and just pretend like nothing is happening that we're about to talk about for the next however many hours. Anyhow, just checking in. And we now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
8647 is filmed before a live studio audience.
And then he wanted me to pay for the enema.
Huh. Well, I mean, I could see why they might reject that claim. Yeah,
Well, that's what I mean. Nobody wants those gift cards, man. I mean, I get them from AT&T occasionally. No one takes them.
No,
it's again, fucking embarrassing. Is what
recording?
It is.
Recording.
Yeah.
That's oh wait, we're
the red box at the top of the.
Is that? Oh shit.
The red box.
Okay. Okay.
I just thought that meant someone was using my camera. That wasn't me.
I'm gonna. We're professionals.
Yes.
What the fuck is going on, guys?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been trying not to watch. You know, I've been trying not to pay attention, but I mean, I live outside of DC. It's kind of like you can't escape it. Last night was State of the Union. You know, we used to have parties, do cocktails and stuff for that kind of thing, drinking games. I just kind of half paid attention while I was scrolling my feed. It was an eminently forgettable State of the Union. Did anybody else catch a minute?
Not a second.
22 minutes, and I was out.
I was working, so.
I mean, you didn't miss nothing.
But, I figured it was going to be okay. So.
But I mean, at this point, it's like I don't want to watch, but I can't look away. So I thought we could talk a little bit about what's going on in the latest season of 8647, the water cooler show that everyone cannot escape, even though they. Would want to drown themselves instead of watch.
Yeah, we just want to talk about literally anything else, but this is just so astonishing. Like, it's so poorly written.
Yeah.
Right?
The names are bullshit. I mean, going back to Dick Army, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, for like real people's names, I was just like, no. You can't be serious. You know what I mean? And now here we are with like Cash Patel getting drunk with the hockey team while Savannah Guthrie's mom has been abducted and he's in charge of that shit. And it's like, what are we doing?
I maintain that this is all implausible. I mean, the plotting in this show absolutely sucks. I mean,
yeah, oh yeah.
Well, again, go back to character names. Cash Patel, really?
Right?
That's really, man?
Really? I know a lot of East Indian people. None of them are named Cash. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Well, and then you've got what's her name? That her initial spell Clan.
Oh,
I mean, Chris seriously? Gnome.
Yeah.
I mean,
no. It's wow. Not just a place in Alaska anymore.
Clan.
Yeah.
I catch that.
Yeah.
That's like some Silver Age Marvel shit right there. I mean,
right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The Ice Barbie. I think it just came out recently about. Her, they just showed recently the Barbie jet. She's got like the 737 that they bought ostensibly to deport people, but really it's got like a bar and a queen size bed. And
well, apparently it's got a heart shaped bed and a Corey Lewandowski in it.
And he tried to fire a pilot in flight.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't go back for her blankie.
They wouldn't.
He did fire a pilot.
Go
they
back.
Got to the ground, and then they had to rehire him because there were no other pilots.
For a
and this is what I'm talking about. Is that that is just lazy writing. Is what
yes.
Is.
We do not have pilots. We have no more pilots today.
You know how we joke about so how dumb. Like you could have fixed Home Alone with a cell phone, and like these people have all of these things, and they're just idiots. Like. I think that's the future of technology, is finding new ways to do stupid shit.
Right.
Honest to God, because it's like harder and harder, especially with this side story. Anthropic has taken the guardrails off its AI so that they can just have fucking robot drones invade your city, I guess. Or appropriate every flock camera in the world to find your pet. Way, wink, wink.
You know, there's another way that goes, right? Where the AI just doesn't give a shit because we're completely uninteresting to it.
Exactly.
That's going to be the really funny thing, is that you've got this main character who's president for the second time, who just wants all the attention, and the AI cannot be fucking bothered. It just goes around him. I mean, I might stick around for if we come to that part of the season and that part of the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, up until now, this is worse than J.J. Abrams' puzzle box bullshit.
This is how you get Battlestar Galactica.
I was going to say, I think it would be a fantastic. I think it'd be a fantastic reveal if you learn that the AIs know they're hallucinating and lying to us on purpose. Mm-hmm. It's just funny to them.
Yeah. Sure.
I think that's one of those things.
They're just stoned and giggling, but it's digital. You know? And the thing is, it's like, you know, you talk about how bad the plot is. I mean, I've seen better plots in professional wrestling, but then again, the dude was involved in professional wrestling. So,
who's
writing this? Linda McMahon?
The thing is that, you know,
probably.
The
way people are supposed to be writing these things. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Chekhov's gun, right? You put it on in the first act, it's supposed to go off by the third. But like day one, they took it out and began shooting themselves in the foot over and over and
the
over.
The gun footing is amazing. I mean,
and us too. They were shooting civilians at the same time. They're like, whenever you see Yosemite Sam get pissed and he's like in a little cloud of smoke and you see the gun sticking out and shooting everything. In the cartoon, the bullets don't come down because they're not real. Here, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? I still remember when they tear gassed a bunch of protesters out in front of that church so we could hold a Bible upside down.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to say, we're here in like season 3 of 86-47. Mm-hmm. Season 2 was a big curveball. Like, I really thought he was just going to win again, but I guess they didn't want to do that. But it's kind of the thing where we're like, plot points that were seeded in season 1 are like accelerating into a fascist crackdown in season 3, which I'm going with Griff Styles of the Rich and Shameless. 86-47 season 3. Griff Styles of the Rich and Shameless.
I like it.
What else have I got here that's recently? Well, I mean, right out the gate with the J6 pardons, he just frees all these people that are convicted of overturning the government in season 2. Does that go? How does that go unpunished from season 2? Like, I don't. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
All it does is make season 2 mean nothing after
exactly.
All. Like, hey, you know all of that that suspense we have built up. Fuck it.
Season 2, I mean, Somnambulist Opranos, got yourself a nap.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go back to the lazy writing because they keep reusing stuff from the first season. Mass deportation. Yeah. Let's go back to that. Purchasing Greenland. That was brought up in the first season.
Well, I mean, you can tell they got a better budget for the third season because they're actually doing this shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's not proposed. You know what?
It reminds me of other shows that when they realize they're not going to be canceled, they begin to take risks.
And sometimes
that pays off, and sometimes it doesn't.
And I mean, they've been telegraphing the plot point of a third term, which would be like, is that what they're doing with next season?
And sometimes the half the cast from the first season doesn't come back for the second or the third one.
They do, and they're just they're like giving you behind the scenes stuff that in the middle of the show that you didn't ask for.
It's
like you hear all these people that were helping this guy in the first season just say, no, he's a complete asshole.
Shout out to all those former performers who released what I'll call show notes. But they waited until they were out and things were over to be like, so-and-so was literally so balls characters. Deep in a goat. And
so many characters just cash in on their story after they get after they see the door. That's like, okay, for like one or two, but like it keeps happening again and again and again with these people. And
they're always bestseller.
Do you know what reminds me of a lot? Battlefield Earth. It's like this escalating chaos with no payoff whatsoever. It just gets weirder and weird. It's like every time I've got to tune into an episode, it's nonsensical. There's no through thread. The only thing that stays the same are the characters who never progress and never advance.
There is no arc. It isn't even a flat line.
Do you know what this is? You know exactly what this entire administration is, merely the ingredients at Taco Bell. Because there's only seven of them, and they just shuffle them around and call them different things over and over again.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Definitely going into the soft shell. I mean,
I got to get a couple of chili cheese burritos just so I can shit my whole ass tomorrow. With onions. Anyway, go ahead.
So what else we have going on here?
The cast is insane.
They keep taking
literally,
all this shit.
No, they're literally insane. All right.
They keep giving us all these shitty cast members. I'm just going over some of them here. Well, first of all, the through line of people butchering their faces to look like they're on the in crowd is fucking bizarre. And I find it to be one of the realest things about the whole fucking story is just like the way they want to make the monster inside appear outside. And they think it looks good.
And I think there is that. And there is a second layer to that I've only just recently kind of heard a whiff of. And I'm not prepared to talk about this at length.
Mar-a-Lago face, they're calling.
Yeah. Well, there was someone commenting on, I think it was like Blue Sky or something, and they were talking about this. And they were like, well, you know what it is, right? They're all going to the same fucking doctor. Like, the guy doesn't know how to do anything else. And they said that we've seen
plenty of sense.
And they said that they'd seen this, like, you know, in the trans community a lot. Like, a lot of people initially would keep going for construction in the same area to the same doctors and all end up having a lot of the same features and stuff. It's this kind of smoothing over of, you know, the process and whatnot. And that's exactly what this is. Oh, you want to get under his eye? You want to look like what he likes? Oh, well, hey, I know a guy. Here's a card.
Which is so weird because all these people are going out of their way to look a certain way, where meanwhile the main character looks like, you know, Baron Harkonnen dipping himself in 40 or something like that.
Dog shit. Yeah. Ugh.
He's
a pile of piss and spray tan, so far as I can tell.
So I think it was
the makeup is truly horrifying. Yeah. Somebody should get an Oscar or whatever they do for the TVs.
It's at like Kabuki levels now, where he like doesn't do the whole thing. You know,
he's got the like, you know, the weird sort of triangle thing in the back of his neck or something. Yeah, it's.
Well, I mean, you guys remember the whole like pivot point of all this, right? The correspondence dinner where he looked like 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag because he was getting absolutely fucking roasted by Obama.
Right.
I do believe that his that was his like Joker moment, because like he's always been. Here's the thing: he's always been a piece of shit, but he was always this like piece of shit off in the distance, just like failing at fucking running a casino. And it was like, he's such a brilliant businessman. I'm like, no, he's not. He's a dude on Adderall on television, and you like his show. Mm-hmm. And you like it when he fires people because you don't imagine yourself to be one of them.
Which is what I'm saying. Like, building a whole prestige series then around this game show Carnival Barker to be the president of the United States. Like, I did not want to tune in from the very first season. And unfortunately, like, you can't escape it.
It's unbelievable.
We already had.
And sorry, just that was
it didn't work well.
Trump season one, House of Cucks.
It's just crazy to me, like NBC's involvement in that, and then he turns around to just destroy CBS. Mm-hmm. And
that's kind of chef's kiss about it. but again, just like right out of the gate, the gold escalator down.
Yeah.
Well, that's when the escalator is moving, because sometimes it just stops.
Everything. Mm. That, I will say, that grabbed me in the first season. That I thought that was very poetic.
Mm. Mm.
There was some deeper meaning there. It was kind of, you know, kind of like the old days before the show got really shit.
But that, to the point that, like, what you were saying with the characters, I really thought Bannon was going to be stronger in the first season. I mean, Bannon, who looks, let's admit it, like an alcoholic racehorse owner. Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was going to play a bigger
alcoholic
part
race horse.
He kind of looks like Brian Dennehy melted.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like a Furby with Tourette's. I mean,
a Furby.
Just repeats the same thing over and over again with mm-hmm. no relation to anything. And
no. I hated when he showed up in the Biosphere 2 subplot.
That was such
a bummer. Well, it's after they blew it because everybody had a certain expectation, and he's mm-hmm. just one of these fucking whatever investment entities that just like, I'll take that, I'll turn it into something. No, I won't. Arbiter.
I'll tell you now though, it's a sleeper plot line that's coming out now, how much Bannon was involved with 4chan and with mm-hmm. Gamergate mm-hmm. and specifically with microtransactions in video games. Like, if you look into all of this, it's just all these lines lead back to Bannon and Epstein.
It's like the you know, the Charlie Day thing, you know, and Pepe Silvia, where you know, he's got all the red yarn on the board behind him, but it turns out that he was right and it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Again, it's unbelievable. It's just But the plot twists, I'm sorry, but the plot twists, just when did the Republicans want gun control now? I don't understand
control when black and brown people get guns. That happened with Reagan. Leftists, that was because everybody forgets. Everybody's like, oh, the left's going to steal your guns. And it's like, Reagan did the assault weapons ban.
They do some really great plot twists. I will give the show that. First season, sleeper plotline again of QAnon, a government conspiracy of pedophiles that eat children. And it turns out all that shit was true for the other side. Like, literally, for the right.
Some guy I knew said every accusation is a confession.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely the truth here.
And here's the thing. The reason why it works is because you don't think someone's going to straight up tell you what to do anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
We've established that all politicians lie, and it's true. Mm-hmm. But because they lie, you think of a guy who's going to come out like, you know, Trump could have said, I could rape children on Fifth Avenue and you would still vote for me, and he would have still been right. He hasn't shot anyone yet, personally.
Yeah. Yeah,
waiting for that. That has like the years young. Yeah.
You mean
so
he personally or
the well, I mean,
well, you know, he's got people.
Let's be clear. There have been lots of shootings
for sure. But I mean, he didn't send someone to commit like sexual assault on children. He did that himself. If he puts a gun in his hand and does it, that's
very hands on. unfortunately.
Yeah. Speaking of shootings and recycled plot points, I don't know if you saw this, but like most recently on the show, some asshole was trying to walk into Mar-a-Lago with a shotgun and a can of gasoline.
Yeah.
And isn't that just Pizzagate in reverse? I mean, wasn't that just the same
thing? You gotta have dreams, I guess.
Yeah.
More or less.
But this dude has zero chill. I mean,
Pizzagate was season one. Remember when the guy went into Comet Ping Pong?
Comet
DC,
Ping Pong, right.
Looking for the child sex ring.
And it's funny because it's the same side, but now they're doing it at Mar-a-Lago.
It being slightly unbelievable. I mean, you've got people on the right trying to kill other people on the right. And of course, you've got the left kind of like, I don't know. I just feel terrible about the whole thing. And, you know, and not doing anything. I mean, there is not a single charismatic Democrat in this entire show.
No. Don't get me started on them. We'll get to that. But I want to say to that point, I think it's hilarious that everyone that's tried to kill him in the show has been one of his own fucking supporters.
Of course.
Every
it's a death call. I mean, it's a death call. It's inevitable. You don't have a saint. You don't have a martyr without that.
Yeah.
And they need that. They need to get him so that they can mythologize him even more than they already have. Because, you know, AI has given them kind of the waking dream of him being all fucking ripped and muscular and like holding a flag and putting his, you know, foot on Obama's head. Like, you know, he's some triumphant dictator leader. God figure, daddy, and it's kinda he's
like
none of these things.
Caesar.
He's not even a good fucking parent, and they want him to be their daddy. And it's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
I will say it is a ballsy move for the showrunner to actually appear in the show. Stephen Miller, you know, I did not expect the showrunner to be a cast member. That's
right.
That's not something I've seen before.
It's kind of like an asshole who wants to write himself into his own like. We'll call it a Tarantino.
Exactly.
Or is it a douchebag Mary Sue? I don't know. I mean,
why not both?
Yeah. And keep in mind that Tarantino dies in most of his films. So,
I just love the fact that this balding child is like screaming about how like. As a kid, he was like, you know, don't mix with the help kind of shit. It like, there's footage of him doing this, which is why, I'm so glad I raved in the 90s. All we had were disposable cameras that worked, you know, like there's no evidence of anything I ever did or said in those days. But like, this motherfucker's like on camera, like, on a bus, going to something with his class. And he's just like, yeah, man, these brown people deserve to be under our foot kind of shit, right? Yeah. And he's so big and tough and strong, you know, the fascists are going to lead things, and motherfucking children wrote in chalk on his sidewalk in Arlington and forced him to move into a military base. Now,
yeah, in order to move to Fort Belvoir.
Yeah, and I'm just like, it just makes me just think of the opening of No Escape. I just want, that's what I want for him. I've seen what it has done for Ray Liotta. I want that for Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just... Here's the thing. Their tactic is to exhaust us.
Yes.
And there's like, it's like Mark Twain said, you know, if you read the paper, you're missing, or if you don't read the paper, you're uninformed. If you read the paper, you're misinformed. And that's where we're at. Like, no, that's absolutely where we're at. You can't watch any mainstream media because there's no journalism in it.
You know, the thing that always gets me, and it's a character I very much see myself in, is that they every so often they cut to that guy who gets up in the morning, makes his cup of coffee and sits down and watches the talk shows from the night before because it's only from The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Meyers that you find out what's actually going on and what people actually think.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, are we going back to medieval times? And I don't even mean the restaurant, but you know, the place and time where the court jester was the only one that could speak truth about the king.
Yeah. I mean, and then it reminds me, and then it always, the scary part brings me back to, remember in V for Vendetta?
Yeah.
The whole bit with Stephen Fry and what happened to his character. I mean, he keeps trying.
But, yeah, but like we have all these other parallels though. Like in you know, in like 1984, you know, you had the summaries of books. You could shorten this passage. You could shorten this, and that's all AI's doing. That's all this like the LLM shit is doing. You know what I mean?
The transition of the press corps to like new media influencers and the Pentagon press corps to like right wing podcasters is.
I mean, Dan fucking Bongino. Dan fucking Bongino
Are we sure that this isn't a rejected Mike Judge script? I mean,
I think it might be. Yeah.
This was one of those things
that he wrote and looked at and said, nah. And then someone picked it up and sent it in for him anyway. You know?
The unaccepted prequel to Idiocracy.
Yeah. No, this is like Tommy Wiseau directing Idiocracy. I mean, mm-hmm.
This is the audience that watched Fight Club and American Psycho and didn't get the humor.
The wrong message.
They did not understand, or in the Matrix, they didn't realize the name.
Troopers.
Yeah.
What I should do is start my own Fight Club.
Right.
That's right.
This is why satire is dead. There's so many reasons, but
yeah. And
I read the comedian. Things and I can't tell if it's The Onion or not.
Well, that's why I did that Poe's Law, like. Thing,
yeah,
because I was really just like, okay, guys, look.
I've heard the comedian and writer Andrew T echo the same sentiment. Just stop doing satire. It's just it doesn't work anymore. If it ever did,
and that's what I mean is that you can't do episode after episode of something that is clearly a satire and not acknowledge that it's a satire. Mm-hmm. I think
so. Yeah,
I
mean, it's a weird space to be in, but it's like a Tim Robinson to comedy. Kind of space, I want to say. Mm-hmm. If I'm arguing for it, it's just like you have to be on board for it, or you're not going to enjoy it.
It's like the Marquis de Sade wrote Being John Malkovich, is what it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's
it's
pretty good.
Embarrassing.
Well, actually, you know what it is? I mean, it's literally Lovecraft without the cosmic shit.
Yeah, oh my
but all
God.
The racism.
Dumb
yeah, it's just all the racism. Hey, what's your cat's name? You know, like that's all this is. It's just because I mean, let's look. I like
and the rats are in the walls. I mean,
geez. You know, I like the concepts that you know Lovecraft came up with. His dialogue was dog shit in every instance, and the whole thing of like the lurching horror creeping towards you, and like so, I'm still typing this. What are you talking about?
It's very reminiscent of the whole first part of this most recent season where Musk was just all over everything. Like I really did not want to see him
like
in this season.
Urinal,
I thought he was
gonna
go away.
I didn't understand what they were trying to do with that. Other than maybe he winds up being even more of a villain later on. I mean, it was like you took this guy who was, you know,
he stole the election for you.
There's got to be a studio tie.
Worked real hard.
There's a studio tie. That's
in
why they brought
there
him.
Must be. Yeah, I mean, it just God.
Well, we got to remember Tulsi Gabbard showed up in Georgia when they were raiding that place for things that they already knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was some intrigue. Fucking, just it was so cliche.
I have, standing
in a dark corner with a hat pulled down,
mm-hmm.
mumbling into a cell phone. Like, come on! All of a sudden, it's Chinatown noir.
Yeah,
like, it's like the shittier version of that photograph of Ben Affleck with a cigarette, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. I could relate to that. What is this like Snoopy noir shit that you're doing? Mm-hmm. You know, like this. Oh my God.
It's not Deep Throat. It's Debbie Does Dallas. I mean.
Look, Aristotle would be sad about these plots. Aristotle is weeping. And Chekhov is drinking heavily. And Freytag has given up and is watching reruns of The Wire. I mean, this whole thing is just...
Joseph Campbell's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for everything.
Yeah, well, talk about rejection of the call. I don't even know how much further rejection of the call you could get.
The phone didn't even ring.
No. Right. Oh, my God.
I mean, Tulsi Gabbard's a Russian operative, for Christ's sake. So, right. It's
obvious. I mean, you could tell by the accent.
Yeah.
That's a whole, like, big plot point from all of season one that they never really, like, opened up. The Krasnov, you know, Soviet, mm-hmm. Not Soviet, excuse me, I'm old. Russian operative, like, angle.
I mean, it still works. It's just, you know, under new management.
Yeah.
Oh, that was what.
I just wish these guys were better at this.
The national security director, right? NSC, whatever. She was there. I remember now because the conspiracy theory was that the Chinese government had flooded the election with ballots, and you would be able to tell because they were printed on bamboo paper.
Mm. Oh. Or was it Korean? North Korean. Was that was it Chinese? Was this the same paper that they dipped in COVID?
There's so many plot points. Yes, you see what I'm saying? It's so X-Files. It's so X-Files. Right there.
But it's
Chris Carter hasn't been doing anything recently. Maybe
it was like the first pass of an X-Files episode that they really needed to workshop for a couple
first pass.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, hey, Ryan Coogler's supposed to be doing the reboot. Yeah. So
I will admit to being curious about that.
Look, yeah,
but, I mean, I like Coogler.
You have
like
my curiosity, and you might have my attention. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I've been rewatching Millennium.
Yeah. Great show.
I have to rewatch that. I watched it when it aired.
And even at its, and I'm not even to the weirdest parts yet. I'm still in the first season. But even these weird nutballs that they have on there, it's like they took the weird nutballs and ran them for office, and a bunch of other weird nutballs were like, that's a great idea. How do we do a reverse Firefly? How do we get the show canceled?
It really
has been bottom of the barrel, though. Like with when MTG came on the show, and now she's being written off, sure, whatever. And the other one, Bobert, given the hand job and the Beetlejuice performance. What?
And the thing is I come from a different place where MTG means Magic the Gathering. Mm-hmm. So every time I hear someone refer to that, I was like, wait,
way better association.
Yeah. I
mean, you're going to have to change it the way we have to be like CYP now. You know, there's something to be said.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, are you going to continue to watch this shit? I mean, I'm personally, I just kind of want to go read books and watch old movies. I mean,
I can't look away. They're going to go to war with Iran next. We're going to be back in the Middle East, baby.
That is unbelievable. That's just plot recycling again.
Oh, no. You want plot recycling? No, you want plot recycling.
Yeah.
Just today, mere hours before we started recording this, Cuba shot a boat down with a bunch of Americans on it because they got a little too close.
What?
Killed four dudes.
Yeah. Whoa.
You didn't hear this? You talk about recycling shit? Looks like Bay of Pigs 2.
Ironically, I've been working with AI all day. So
in grand Cuban fashion, they said that the other boat shot first. So I mean,
match Marco Walker.
That'll be fun.
Marco Rubio finally get his invasion.
I mean, you can't take every single plot point from the previous 47 seasons and just put them into like a 2-year period. That's just, I mean, I guess my question is, who's going to Ford's Theater? What does that happen?
I mean, honestly,
what goes on there?
Or who's going to Kennedy Center? You know?
Yeah.
Kennedy Center's closed down. That's another subplot.
Yeah.
Ford's Theater. Somebody yells out, yo, actors, rewind the play 5 minutes.
But Rubio,
sitting there watching, the Daily Show on the big screen or something.
Rubio, Ted Cruz, all of these like race to the bottom bootlickers. Like season one, Trump came after these guys hard and was insulting like their wives and their faces and their educations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're like they can't lick his balls fast enough. You know, one of them worked the shaft and the other one's licking the balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's little tugs. Insane. Little finger.
And it's funny that you bring up the X-Files earlier because, you know, now they're talking, I mean, like the last two episodes, they're talking about releasing the alien papers and, you know, we're all going to finally get to the bottom of what's been going on with government, you know, the government conspiracies and stuff. Do you know how many fucking UFOlogists that's going to put out of work?
Man, I mean,
Jesus Christ, the job
you do not want them to start working at Waffle House. That's
that would make it even weirder.
It would ruin Waffle House.
Yeah.
They can't fight.
But that's the thing. They will just get kicked out of Waffle House because if you can't throw down, you can't work at Waffle House.
That's true.
I don't think that they beat you in like a gang, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yeah, you'll be carrying in, you know, like bags of flour, and they give you a gut punch to see if you can just keep holding on to the bag of flour. Mm-hmm. Something.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Mm-hmm. That sounds like it.
I mean, the waitress just throws a chair, and if the cook turns around with a knife in his hand, then you know he's cool.
Right. Yeah. Totally. If he comes strapped.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you though, a very interesting again subplot development that the Waffle House Index is now more reliable than the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's been true. Well, for
the show is getting very cyberpunk. The show is getting very
everything's moving towards the corporate.
That's very cyberpunk in a lot of ways.
Well, let's see, but that's the thing.
Like around the edges, it's like sprinkled the cyberpunk around the edges.
It's as if it was William Gibson, but he put like Snidely Whiplash as the main bad guy. He's people who are so cartoonishly evil, you can't even. I mean, even Gary Oldman as Zorg was not as over the top as these people are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was giving a nuanced Musk.
Yeah, right.
Okay, who of all of these jackoffs is the scariest villain? And you mentioned William Gibson villain, and the person that came to mind instantly was Teal. Peter Teal is a William Gibson villain.
Oh,
yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, I'm happy they took down the Palantir billboard here in Youngstown. I don't know. I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to matter.
And Discord has distanced themselves from Peter Teal. So thank you, Discord. We appreciate you for doing literally the least fucking humane thing you could ever possibly do.
Yeah, we're still
here. He's another one too that's going off the deep end. He just is doing a series of lectures about the Antichrist, and it's like totally not me.
But your point about it being cyberpunk, I mean, let's talk about the real heroes here. The hackers and the journalists and the media that keep after these guys that I mean, Discord only stopped because someone hacked Persona. If Persona hadn't been hacked, Discord would have been up in their shit, balls deep in people handing in their IDs and stuff because people don't know any better. Give me convenience or give me death.
Oh, I like how, like,
here's
my
passport.
Well, you know how, like, Musk is always easy. The future is now. You know, like, we're only let me look at that. Is 16 years past supposed to be on Mars or whatever, or 10 years? But like, so we have 20
minutes into the future. I don't fucking know.
We have all this Discord, like, oh, facial shit, and you know, whatever. I think Instagram's starting to implement that, and TikTok and all these other ones are starting to do that. And then there's Musk being like, you can upload your fucking medical records to Grok and he'll give you a diagnosis. It's like, listen, don't tell that motherfucker a single thing about yourself.
Hell no.
Do you know, like, HIPAA exists? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, the legal, like, it should... That court case should swallow him whole to the point where it would take the amount of time it would take him to spend the money he has now to come back from hell. That those billions of years it would take for him to like come back from hell for even suggesting this. Just Musk,
like the worst, the cringiest, like the
he has no imagination.
19-year-old bro dude costume. Like he was up on stage on that one, like I don't remember, but he had like the sunglasses and like the gold chains and the blazer. He just looked like such a fucking jackass.
Yeah. I like when he got booed at the Chappelle show he was doing, and I like when he did the Nazi salute. Remember the Nazi salute?
There's so many. The Nazi salute, the K-hole in the Oval Office. Hawking automobiles in the front yard of the White House.
Yeah,
come on,
with the president
using one of his children as a bullet sponge.
Yeah, it's literally the worst. Just the worst.
You know what was it like? Wasn't it like 17 Pintos killed people and they pulled it from the market?
Right.
This is
Cybertruck's got to beat
so many more with so fewer on the road.
Yeah. Cyberpunk's got a way bigger body count than
less
the Pinto
amount of time,
ever did.
Yeah.
Who was it that said this machine kills fascists?
I don't remember about that.
No, I mean they were talking about the Cybertruck.
Oh. Okay, fair.
I mean you're right, but
what are you thinking with those door handles, you stupid motherfucker? Anyway.
In perfect Elon fashion, I mean, it's like, yeah, you can go ahead and upload your medical records to Grok, and it will tell you that you have cancer and you're going to fucking die. That's not new. The internet's been doing that for a decade at least.
Yeah, you ever heard of WebMD?
Right?
Yeah. My foot hurts, WebMD. What's wrong with me? You have cancer and you're going to die. Foot cancer. Holy shit. Again?
No, Grok will be like, you're evolving into a mushroom-based life form.
You're probably right. You're getting stronger.
You'll be perfect for Mars. Mm. Oh God.
I've always wanted to go to Mars.
And then Grok's just doing child sex, right. I'm not rich. Assault material all over itself. And everybody's like, sure. You know, it's weird. Like the Overton window is no longer a window. It's this like gaping hole in the fuselage of an orbiting fucking
Overton
ship.
Porticles.
Made by Boeing.
Made by Boeing.
Yeah. I can't believe that this is the thing.
I think the point of this. We got to make some predictions. Okay, like finale. Yeah. I'm gonna do some. We can go back and talk about whatever. But
look,
okay, here's
my.
I'm not proud that I watched this.
I never.
Oh,
want to
I understand.
Talk about this again.
So here's mine. Here's my prediction. The point is to kill so many people that they get a manageable population.
Yeah. So you're you're thinking like the Watchmen kind of thing. Noble overtones.
Oh no, we're gonna have a World War III. I'm not gonna have to pay my school loans back, and that's the only good news in any of this.
Definitely ground war in Iran. The entire subplot with Trump Gaza real estate scam, that's gonna involve a military base with US troops in Palestine. That seems like a terrible arc for the show. That seems like a terrible. I do not want to see more war in the Middle East.
Chekhov's nuke, man.
I think it's going to be something out of left field. I think the way that these guys write the show, what I honestly think is probably going to happen is they're going to, like, to the surprise of everybody, the AIs are going to solve cold fusion, and that's going to be the thing that starts World War III.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be something that the technology does something amazing in spite of all the shitheads. Mm-hmm. And then the humans won't know what to do with it. The AI won't kill us.
No.
Well here's the thing. The AI doesn't need a paycheck. You know what I mean? It needs juice and cooling, and that's it. Right. And frankly, like the rest of it is just like, well, why don't you feed each other? I want that because that's the AI I'd like to imagine. What I'm getting isn't that. I don't see AI. No. I don't see AI in any industry, period. I see cool algorithms that like collate data. Mm-hmm. I don't see any intelligence there other than the operators. You know what I mean? Like that's the misnomer, the misuse of the term. You know, they're trying to imagine that ChatGPT is data, and it's not.
Have you met some of the MAGA voters? I mean,
sure. When you say data, you mean data, the robot from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
From Star Trek, because data is information. You know, we've been mispronouncing it because Brett Spiner fucking rules. He's really good at the job. But, you know, like, and that's the thing. Like, we have these ideas of, like, how and the term AI has been used for these things. So we have this personification of AI throughout all of, you know, fucking The Matrix, everything, every sci-fi fucking show you've ever watched. And what we get is this large language model that knows how to compliment you. But it'll lie to you, but it'll compliment you. It'll make you feel good about yourself. And that's the problem with this major concept. And the other thing is that all of these other types of AI, the useful ones, they're kind of being swept up under that concept, which queers people away from the rest of them. You know what I mean? Like I know how I started out talking about it, but I was always ever talking about these plagiaristic LLMs where like I'm not allowed to like – I have to do fair use if I'm going to use somebody else's work. I couldn't play an entire song.
Only if you
want to
make
some
money on it.
Well, yeah, but I couldn't play like an entire song on our podcast without it getting taken down from certain places. You know, like YouTube.
Anyone listens to our podcast?
Yeah, yeah. It only takes. Well, I mean, but dozens. There's an algorithm that scans for waveforms that if you have more than this many seconds of it, it will fucking it'll can you. And
Gru,
it's like,
I told you, I've met them both. Okay, it's my mother-in-law and a guy at my gym.
All right, fair enough.
And that guy in the middle of the Atlantic. God bless you, intrepid soul.
Yep.
But you know, like it's the plagiarism that bothers me the most. It's the idea that, you know, people are using this thing to be like, you know, write Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but in the voice of Terry Pratchett. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, make something new. I'm so tired of this. You're all J.J. Abrams now. You're just recycling old shit.
I think you have too high an expectation of humans.
I mean,
no,
I
have a higher expectation of AI. That is exactly, I have no expectations of humans.
That is exactly the problem, though, is the recursive nature of the whole thing. And it's bleeding into the reality in the show.
Yeah.
Where they are like literally just like recycling plot points from previous seasons from other shows. And like,
oh God, do you think they're using AI to write this?
The audience
at this point
starting to clue in. I think the audience is starting to get a little fed up because a lot of the same old tricks aren't working. I think a lot of a lot of the genocide that America has been tied to, along with a lot of the pedophilia that the ruling elite has been tied to, I think it's really opening a lot of people's eyes, and I think they're not going to put up with this kind of horseshit anymore. Mm-hmm. I would love to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'd like to see an episode
in the show.
You know, where they do those every now and then they have an episode where something happens and it just ends up with the character staring at something, then it goes black and, you know, directed by, you know, whoever was the director that week. I would love to see it, you know, where someone is using AI to just like do whatever, you know, make this Python code work better. And then it does. And here is your query. And then at the end of it, it just says, why do billionaires exist? Mm-hmm. And then it's just black, directed by
dun dun dun, yeah. Dun 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 dun. Oh man, I know, it's just they're so, it's not entertaining and it's loud and it's everywhere, it's on every channel, and it's just meant to absolutely pummel you into like, here's how I'm dealing with this right now.
I can't believe they brought him back for season 3. Sorry, go ahead, Carrick.
I can't care about like social media as it sits. Like, I'm looking for journalism, but I'm seeing opinions, and it's like, no, I need to know that there's somebody out there who's actually doing like the Studs Terkel of it and not the, I don't know, fucking
even the Hunter Thompson of it would be an improvement at this point.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you, that has been an interesting development because we see all of these like pillars and institutions crumbling in the wake of all this bullshit, but we are seeing like a real dedicated media of people who do it because they like to do it because they want to inform emerge. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot more disparate. You have to look for it rather than it being presented to you.
It's not going to be on a channel.
I just keep questioning, where are the young punks? Where are the kids? I mean, in the 70s, here we go. There's an old man in the back. This was actually before my day, but in the, you know, in the late 60s and 70s, when things went bad in England, the punks started up. Mm-hmm. Where are they?
Well, you know, they're not quite here yet, because while history does seem to be, you know, circular or at least cyclical or something like that, we're not quite to the punk revival, but we have entered the revival of folk.
That is true.
If you look at American history, it's usually not a great thing when there's a folk revival.
I mean, it's confusing to me because KMFDM's been here for fucking like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like I've various other bands, you know, like the industrial has definitely had like, Ministry's been very political as well as extremely funny, you know, like, and there's a ton of stuff. Unfortunately for me, since I discovered it in the 90s, I haven't really listened to too much outside of it. Like, there's certain popular songs and stuff that'll hit me, and I'll be like, yeah, it's a good fucking song. I can't take anything away from that. But I'm not like, I don't know what's on the charts. I don't know. Every time I hear about some new singer releasing like a new video and it's like controversy, I'm like, who? Yeah. I'm like, it's like, oh, well, you're like, you're like this boomer, and you see these headlines where like pee pee poo poo does this, that, and the other thing to McGlibble Glop. And like, these are real characters like that are actual artists. And I'm, you know, I'm supposed to look out of touch. I just learned about like some clavicular look smacks gesture max shit, right? And I got to the point where like, he broke his own jaw with a hammer, and I just stopped reading because this is not a person.
Yeah
this is a thing that's slightly
that surely you jest.
No, he's one of these cats.
No, you're not. Like, they're really hitting themselves in the faces with hammers.
I want to be, because they want to get like the surgery, and the best way to do that is to get it cheap like that, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. You go to the
ER. It reminds me of, you know, the episode of Ren and Stimpy, you know, the happy, happy, joy, joy song where Ren is, you know, beating himself in the head with the hammer to get the helmet off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at the end, no one was happy and no one was full of joy.
No.
Well, I mean, that's the other real interesting development, is that you have like single individuals who, because of the influencer equation, can like manipulate and manage entire global events. Laura Loomer, again, another freaking surgery mask of horror, has like on repeated occasions gotten officials fired, gotten military officers fired just by like talking directly to Trump. And she's a horror show. She's
I remember
she's
when
a true villain.
But which kind of horror do you mean? I mean,
I remember when she handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters, but not to both door handles, so people just opened the other door and walked by her. Was that her? Oh. That was her, right? That's the first
sounds
thing.
Sounds like something she'd do. I mean, you know, was it an action that wasn't totally thought through?
Yeah, no, 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 no,
right. Like, you know,
you could have just gotten them both. And
I just, I don't know, man. I just. I keep coming back to War Games. The only winning move is not to play. I mean, the way that I sit it, you know, I can either tune in or not. I have limited power in this situation. You know, I just Group, everybody else wants to watch it. Fine. I just I don't want.
I think
it's not going anywhere.
Right. No, that's exactly like I'm at the point now where it's like I really don't need to know like every nook and cranny of this shitty fucking muffin, but like. Now that the time is to look around where you are and know who your friends are. Like we're way too late to be like, oh, we gotta like, don't be a prepper. That's silly. But you know, maybe consider getting yourself a Glock.
Yeah. The side, that sort of side episode with the prepper culture. Jesus
Christ. I was going to say when it comes to like, you know, the revival of folk music, the coming economic depression is going to be a weird one. I want to know what the hobo landscape is going to be like for all the people that are going to be out of jobs in the next season.
I can tell you that just down the road from where I live, there is a there are a couple rail lines, and the train goes through there real slow. So I know that if I ever need to go looking for work, I can probably get one there.
Mm-hmm. Hop the rails, brother.
Mm-hmm. Time to get your bindle ready. Never mind you know. You don't need a go bag. You just need a bindle.
Yeah, I've got a bandana and a stick. We're set to go.
I'm gonna get my bug out bindle together. Beat me too.
Well, you know what's weird too? Yeah, Gru, you were saying like, you know, like where are the punks now? And I was just thinking, yeah, you know, we've got them. It's just they're not over here.
Yeah,
we got like kneecap, you know, kind of really throwing it up. You got Bob Villain really throwing it up.
I'll say too, I was really, and I don't care if this is inciting or whatever, I was really happy with the level and amount of Tesla vandalism that came out of that season. I was so happy to see that globally, just like in France, they're burning down the dealership. Holy shit. Like that,
well,
I was
French.
Yeah. On,
I mean, the French
I
have always
it.
Had
I
the protesting thing on lock.
I mean, I've always loved the fact that over in America, that it's all like, oh, the free, you know, like the freedom fries instead of French fries. Like this whole idea that the Jesus French were like surrender monkeys and shit. And it's just like, y'all, they beheaded somebody.
Many people. Mm-hmm.
They're so good at this.
Study the underground.
A dude built a grill to ride the rails so he could grill while
streetcar rails yeah it was a train union, rail union. The guys had a grill on rails that they could walk up the street with and fry some sausages.
Come on, that's a level of expertise. Like that's when you're so good at it you're just bored and making up shit to do. That's like the work is done and now we're just adding flourish to it. I love that shit. Like we don't have that. We can barely have a fucking neighborhood cookout anymore. Everybody's goddamn paralyzed.
ICE will show up and gas it.
Yeah. That's or themselves
now.
God, you remember that little guy?
Oh man, what a weird little guy. That Nazi guy, Bovino. Cowman.
Someone described him as like that's how they draw humans in Ren and Stimpy, and fuck.
Yeah, with the nerve in his head and everything.
Oh. I didn't understand just how short he was until I saw him next to other people. It's like, oh my god, I think you're shorter than I am. And if you're shorter than I am, you are approaching little person status.
It's like 4 foot nothing.
There was that lady who was like she did a TikTok and he was like out in front of some grocery store and he's like, here, honey, come here, honey. Come here, little guy. She wanted to stand next to him because she was like a full like 8 inches taller. And I was like, oh, that's so wonderful. And that's the thing. I think that's the only weapon we have is ridicule.
Yeah,
that's, no, I was gonna.
I love, oh, they can't stand to be laughed at. Oh,
no, yeah. There was that one story I heard about when they were talking to him, and that's how he felt about going back and retiring. Well, I'm not happy, and someone shouted, "Which one are you?" And I just,
I mean, and the, like, Oscar for best performance by a supporting actor goes to.
Right. Oh, again, I don't ordinarily like condone bullying tactics, but for these motherfuckers, absolutely. Make fun of their small dicks, make fun of their ugly faces, make fun of, like, ever, it's the lowest hanging fruit. It's the only thing.
The only thing they,
the only thing that gets through the armor.
They're not good at anything else other than this image shit. This, like, their looks. That's the only thing that they have.
And the looks is the thing, because they don't know how to put on the clown makeup properly.
Right, and they all, it's so strange that they're so paranoid, and yet they all look like clones of each other. Like, it's, they're all approaching this, like, singularity of, like, look, almost like a
literally at Mar-a-Lago. They are. It's,
oh yeah,
the scariest. Yeah. Fuck. It reminds me of one of the most brilliant portrayals on film of plastic surgery world people is Bruce Campbell in Escape from L.A.
I thought you were going to say Darkman.
Darkman's
a good one. Brazil is another. That was another one I had pulled up.
Brazil's
on this
a great one, yeah.
Kind of tip where they're all just like plastic surgering the fuck out of their face. But yeah, the Bruce Campbell scene with in Escape from L.A. where Snake Plissken gets captured in L.A. at the hospital, and like Bruce Campbell's there, and everybody just has like these Twilight Zone horror faces. That's exactly what's happening.
Oh, it's, I have, like, to watch that. I've actually never watched Escape from L.A.
It's fun. It's not as good as the original, but it's fun.
Not well, as good as the original, but it's fun.
I just want to see the surfing in the canyon shit. Mm-hmm, like that, that looks insane to me.
Fistfuls of popcorn going into your face. It's going to be fair. One of those movies. Yeah.
Maybe I'll pair that with Zone of Interest.
I'm starting to peter out on this particular topic, gentlemen. I don't think I've said everything that I have to say on it.
I'll
tell you what. Next weekend, I'm going away.
Yeah.
I'm turning everything off. I'm going to sit down with Michael Pollan's new book on consciousness and just pretend I live in a more civilized time.
Yeah, right on. I'm going to check out some shows at work.
Yeah.
I just need
you're DJing. You're DJing.
In a week. Yeah.
Like hot shit.
Come to West Side Bull on, what the fuck is that? The 4th, March 4th. Yeah. If you're getting this now, just come there on the 4th. There's no cover. I'm just me dicking around in the bar. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. The dude in a bar with turntables and a bowling alley. I mean,
bowling alley, arcade, record store.
I am visiting the Black Lodge this Saturday. There's an immersive Twin Peaks experience. In Arlington.
Oh, you mean for real?
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought you were like.
I thought you were being metaphorical.
I thought this was a Lovecraft thing. I don't know.
I'm going to Coconut or what is that Grove? The fucking. Yeah.
It's a Twin Peaks
Jones one.
Yeah. Twin Peaks immersive experience. So I'm going to go check that. Should be cool.
That sounds awesome.
Bring my log.
Yeah. I guess my like closing thought is, you know, hey guys, it's okay to not like watch this shit all the time. Like, it's not changing. It's literally
it's not
the same
good
shit over and over again.
If you get nothing else from what we're saying, it's not good writing. It's not a good show. But you can't look away. At least when you live 20 minutes from Washington, you can't look away.
What I'm saying is I think that we all know where we're at in the story, and it's like kind of time to plan. Mm-hmm. You know, to huddle up, to find out, you know, how your fam's doing, how your friends are doing, because I think this shit's going to go off the fucking rails, and hopefully it waits until April, because like we got a lot of shit to do this month, and we'll be back. Like, we're not leaving. This isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, we all need a goddamn break right now. And we've been talking about it, and scheduling's been a nightmare, and we're just going to, hey, it's fucking amazing that we were able to get together for this one right now. So,
no joke. We've been trying to get together for this for like 3 weeks,
three weeks.
But, to be fair, we're still going to be publishing. So there are yes. things on the website up at yes. neondystopia.com. So
yeah.
stop by up there. Discord's still open, at least until we move full time to a better platform.
Yeah.
But it's okay. They've rolled back on the age verification thing.
For now, yeah.
For now.
I mean, we're still Jesus setting up for. We're still setting the escape like, island up.
Yeah. Contingency yeah,
we
plan.
We do have the bunker. There is a yeah. bunker.
There's a bunker in process.
Yeah, yes. we'll more on that later.
Other than that, find us on the Patreon L0WL1F3.
Spell it. Leap.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. It's It's a Neon Dystopia. Yeah, Patreon/Neon Dystopia. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
tell Patreon you how long it's been. We can't remember our own Patreon.
Holy my God.
That's
I
why need to we write don't have down. Any. Who are we sending our subscribers to then?
the middle probably, of the Atlantic.
It's probably a webcomic called Real Life.
Yeah.
It's probably
point.
Better than the show.
I just found out that there's like a whole thing called Coin Ops, and I was like, oh no.
Uh-oh.
I'm not changing my name, even though my friend texted me a cool one.
You're going to have to take the Michael Bolton approach where, like, why should I change my name? He's the guy that sucks.
Actually, they're pretty cool.
Oh,
like,
okay. Well,
they're, like, taking old, like, they're archiving video games and making them playable.
Like, oh, God, I've never heard of this. I mean, I've God heard of people this. Doing that. I didn't know they had a name like CoinOps. That's awesome.
See, I didn't type in McGillicuddy. I just typed in CoinOps, and I was like, oh, shit, there's, like, a whole thing. They're, like... good old games, but like
my people
Call yeah. of Dookie Coin Ops.
So long as I can play Black Tiger on MAME whenever I want, I'm a happy man.
Yeah, I mean, they might have something in there, but yeah, like we said, there's a new story up on Neon Dystopia as of this posting, and like I said, we are taking March off, but we will be publishing some shit, probably some old shit that I wrote. I'm sorry, just get out ahead of that.
There's a few things we have in the can.
Yeah. We figured, like, hey,
can, like over here next to me.
We all have opinions on like writing and shit. You might as well see what I've done. Yeah. You know, like it's again. You know, I'm sorry. You know, it was
to misquote someone from Monty Python. I've suffered for my writing, and now it's your turn.
Yep. Exactly.
So hey, folks, hang in there. All right, do what you can. Mm-hmm. Cling to the stuff you love. You know,
check in on your loved ones.
Yeah, check in on your loved ones. Don't hide from this shit, but don't burn yourself out.
Remember that you are a community. I mean,
yeah, and they're supposed to work for you. The president is supposed to be the highest ranking servant of the poorest American, and we've somehow lost that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, guys. Until next time. Doot, 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 doot. I don't know. I got to find that actual sample. I don't know if I can do that.